was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world.
Welcome back to Resurrect
the Shining City on
Radio Broadcast on RBN Network with Lori Anderson, Tom Lacavera Stewart, and John Mesmer. We have a couple of callers that we would like to bring in on the show. Let's go ahead and take Ken from Fort Worth. How are you tonight, Ken?
Howdy. Hey, go on YouTube and put in Hillary Clinton exposed.
Okay.
A lot of stuff on there. And also put Hillary Clinton arrested. And Hillary Clinton disappeared. Do you ever see those?
I'm not
sure. Yes, I have. I've seen them. You gotta watch, though. And like I used to tell some other folks that used to be on the network here, you got to take some of those things with a grain of salt, because a lot of that stuff is done intentionally just to trip us up. I saw the arrest video out of New York City, and I have to be honest with you, I don't give it much weight. I think that most of it is a psyop.
One thing, she did not touch the door or the door frame to get in that vehicle. They stuffed her in there. I believe she had handcuffs behind her.
Well, it certainly...
But I don't know who arrested her. And he probably took her down and got her arrested. And then 2 hours later, here comes, she comes out of her daughter's office with a different ring on, right?
Yeah, but she's also... She's also been at the debate, and then, you know, other things after that. And to be quite honest with you, the regime that we are looking at, we get tripped up in the Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, when most people don't understand, if you're living under this de facto regime, you're just as enslaved. It doesn't matter who the president is. Doesn't matter. So if Hillary Clinton, I hope she does get arrested. I pray that she does get arrested. I hope that she's violated enough of their own rules that they lock her up and they put her away and they throw away the key. But the truth of the matter is,
Hillary Clinton disappeared. She's standing in front of an American flag, and she disappeared for a couple frames and came back. Now,
I know.
They make you believe dinosaurs out there. They can make you believe she's standing in front of a big crowd. You can't trust
them.
Hollywood's involved in this.
They can also make you lose your mind following these threads down rabbit holes. I'm just saying. I know all about the green screen. I know about all of that stuff, and I attribute that to the rally. You really want to know the truth about that. She was standing in a room, and there were only a couple hundred people there, but they tried to make it look like there were thousands of people in the room. So what they
that's
do
that's in that room at all. You know, I just don't trust them anymore.
Well, that, you know what, you make a good point. I don't trust them anymore either, but I don't trust them based upon the historical record. All of these technological mind games that they're playing with the people, if you go back far enough, what it really means is that all of that stuff, even if everything that you just said was actually the way it was, even if it doesn't matter, it just doesn't matter. They're puppets. We call them puppets for a reason, because that's all they are. They might as well be mind-controlled drone zombies. It doesn't matter.
And also, appears that she had the questions ahead of time, because she rehearsed what she had to say. Because you and I, when we talk, we go, and, because we got something else to say. But she just, like, throwed out her like an actress.
Yeah, I know.
That's not unusual. But we would want you to hang on because there's some stuff that's going to be exposed a little bit further in the show about some voter information and different things. It's very nice talking to you.
I understand what you're saying, though. It illustrates a good fact that they are psyoping the crap out of us.
Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead and get Jeffrey from Pennsylvania. How are you doing tonight, Jeffrey?
Hey, great work you guys are doing.
Thank you.
I just I love the research you guys do, and I'm kind of in line with that. And I came across some things that there may be a legal relationship through our birth certificate by our parents, because you know how children are, when they're birthed, are called foundlings, correct?
Are called what?
Foundlings.
Yeah, I understand what you
got. Term?
Yeah.
And that our parents are just custodians. Our parents sign off, and they are just taking care of the product of the state, because the doctor is the one that actually is, you know, catching the baby out of the sea, I guess you would say, in the birth canal.
Right.
Well, you could look at it, you know, it's not very different than a zoo. I'm going to be real honest with you. Really, you make a good point. If we compare ourselves sometimes to a plantation, that would be somewhat accurate. You could probably say a plantation slash zoo. That's how these people think of us. They think of us as the useless eaters, the feeders, the ones that they fleece.
Yeah,
and eventually your parents abandon you at the time that you're birthed. They turn you over to the state via those documents, and that's exactly what happens. You're not born free. You're born into an enslavement system. It's what it is.
Yeah, and the parents are obligated.
Oh, go
I was
on.
Just going to say real quick, the parents are obligated to the state well before the birth certificate, typically, with the marriage license, because the marriage license will most often say that the product of this marriage belongs to such and such state of Montana, state of Idaho, whatever. And so what's the product of a marriage? Children. So right there, before you even have your children, before that birth certificate fraud is ever introduced, the fraud's already started.
Very good point. You've already agreed ahead of time. And that's when the state essentially stepped in and they started administering or giving us permit to get married. It's no different than the darn... I use the driver's license as a prime example. It's a great example of how we give our liberty, our freedom away to be given a permission that they don't have to give.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with the marriage. It's the same thing with the birth certificate. It's the whole thing. Colonel Mandel House said everybody's biological property will be registered. And this is what has happened. And these progressives are taking us head first into a brick wall with it.
And the one thing I want to say is, really want to affirm this, is that we have a legal relationship in some sort of way with the state. The state being the United States of America, or the state being, you know, your state, you know, mine being Pennsylvania. But what
the
they
state
gave
would be
us
United States, not United States of America. United States is the corporation. Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead. Sorry.
We all have to acknowledge that we are operating an agency of the United States inside the District of Columbia. There's some sort of way, and it all goes down to the probate court, or in my terms, it's actually a Roman term. My probate court is called a proto notary, and it's fascinating.
You got it.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo.
And excellent. And as long as we realize that we're operating this agency, and that we can actually resign from this agency, just like you resign from any type of job that gives you an agency, and all these agencies that come against us, you have to realize these are all fictitious, and they're all just documentations and legal law and legal instruments. And I suggest everyone look up instrument in Black's Law, first edition, second edition, third edition, whatever early edition you can get your hands on, and just realize that we are this name they gave us, and it's not our Christian names, it's not our given names, it's our first, we have our given names, but our last names actually override, because they're actually agency nouns. Have you guys ever heard of agency nouns?
Yes.
And it's fascinating. Like, I just have this website pulled up, and it says agent nouns are more common than recipient ones, simply because recipients need agents, while agents do not need recipients. And they have some they have some agency nouns, and it's like debtor, director, employer, lecturer, prayer, and all these operator words. It's these they build us into this corner, and I just want people to realize that you need to realize that these words, you got to go down to the founding lawful definitions and realize the words that you are using are actually enslaving you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you. Yeah, have a good night,
not
everybody.
Not a problem. Thank you. You have
thank
a blessed
you.
Night as well. Now, Tom, we
great,
have
great
some
point.
More. Yes?
Go ahead, Lori.
Oh, okay. I apologize. I thought someone was trying to say something. I have some news. Some
what's
more
that?
Good news. Okay. How long have we been helping and having Carl Swenson on the show? And he's been exposing corruption out there in Henry County.
God love him, yes.
God love him. Well, guess what just happened? Even though they don't name Carl, the documents that were provided by Carl to the county commissioner, you remember the county commissioner that stood up when he found out that about the corporations, he denounced them and he said he didn't want any part of that, that he was elected to represent the people. His name was Tommy Smith. Do you remember
yep.
that?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I have a video, and I think this is going to make all the listeners smile, and I want to say kudos to Carl Swenson for all the hard work and all the individuals that work with him to expose that corruption, working tirelessly, going through the CAFRs, doing the connections, and as well, I think a big, huge kudos needs to be also sent out to the County Commissioner Tommy Smith of Henry County. Now, for the listeners who are new, Carl Swenson, he is over the Henry County Board of Review, and they have worked tirelessly for years to expose corruption. So I'm going to...
Patrick Henry Board of Review.
Well, it's now called the Henry County Board of Review.
I had to throw good old Patrick in there. He's my favorite yeah. founding.
And they actually used to, if I'm not mistaken, maybe, I think that they used to call it the Patrick Henry Board of Review.
Yeah.
But if you would, go ahead and play LV2.
A Fox 5 I-Team investigation raises questions about the relationship between the state DOT's top road planner and a lobbyist.
The two worked together with other elected officials before recently announcing a road widening project in Henry County. Well, senior I-Team reporter Dale Russell has investigated that business relationship between the two men. Dale?
Deidre, it's interesting. County governments across Georgia are fighting to have the state improve existing roads or build new ones in their area. Governor Deal selected former legislator Jay Roberts to be his top man to help make those decisions at the DOT. And one decision he made has kicked off a storm of controversy.
Hey, we appreciate that. Yeah, yeah.
In this online hunting and fishing show, you can find two old friends having fun hanging around the campfire, Jay Roberts and William Woodall. But when they aren't in the woods, former state representative Jay Roberts is Governor Deal's powerful hand-picked director of planning for the state DOT. And William Woodall is a well-known lobbyist. These two longtime friends now find themselves in the middle of what Henry County Commission Chairman Tommy Smith calls a conflict of interest.
To me, you would be lobbying government and you'd have an inside person.
This doesn't look good to you.
It don't look good. No, sir.
It all begins with State Route 155 in Henry County, a two-lane road running from Interstate 75 past huge industrial buildings. Traffic often crawls down this corridor.
We're actually hiring a lobbyist who will go to the Capitol and will fight for Henry County.
On August 2nd, Henry County commissioners voted to pay lobbyist William Woodall's company, OnPoint Strategies, $2,000 a month to get DOT money to build or widen roadways like State Route 155.
All in all, you figured that this group was your lobbyist.
All in all, yes.
It looks like Mr. Woodall went right to work. Look at this press release. 8 days after the vote to hire him, Mr. Woodall met with State Senator Rick Jeffries, the DOT's Jay Roberts, and other Henry County officials to discuss road projects. Roberts announced that day the DOT would spend $72 million to widen State Route 155, putting Henry County's road improvement ahead of hundreds of other state roads.
It's your decision.
It is, yes.
We got a $17 million project with Jay Robinson and William Woodall.
And just 6 days later, the Henry County Commission voted to appropriate money to pay Woodall's company and gave him credit for bringing home the DOT bacon.
He got Jay Roberts down here in a week's time. And he's the man. Jay Roberts is the man.
When we caught up with Jay Roberts at DOT headquarters, he also gave credit to William Woodall. Roberts told me Mr. Woodall did good work for Henry County.
I complimented him on the fact that he was one that advocated on behalf of the city and the county when we were there that day.
The Fox 5 I-Team has learned that Jay Roberts and William Woodall are more than friends. According to Mr. Roberts, they're business partners in Dirt Road TV. Is it a conflict of interest?
Some people may see it that way. I don't.
If it takes on even the appearance of impropriety, it's wrong.
But Henry County Commission Chairman Tommy Smith sees a problem. He voted against hiring Mr. Woodall as a lobbyist, but he didn't know about the Roberts-Woodall business relationship.
This thing is so convoluted. It's like a spider web.
Jay Roberts says Henry County has wanted Georgia Highway 155 widened for years, and this decision was only one of many road projects across the state he has advanced.
And you didn't make the decision to put this road, fast forward this
Absolutely
road.
Absolutely did not make this decision.
Because of your relationship.
I did not make this decision based off of my relationship with him.
But this is where we take a turn in the road. We also found the lobbying company Henry County Commissioners voted to hire, On Point Strategies, has ties to Jay Roberts. The I-Team examined company records on file with the state for On Point Strategies. The original organizer and registered agent for the company is not William Woodall, but Jay Roberts' wife. And the contact email listed is Jay Roberts' personal email.
My wife was on there originally as it was set up. If she's still on there, I actually need to pull her off.
Roberts says originally On Point Strategies was formed to do that hunting and fishing show. But he and his wife are now out of the company. It belongs to Mr. Woodall. But the original company records indicate it was formed for management, sales, and consulting. Not one word about hunting or fishing.
I guess we have not modified it to that point. But I can assure you that I have never received anything, nor my wife has ever received anything from that.
This right here tarnishes the whole credibility to me, Mr. Roberts. Whether it's legal or not, it's a conflict of interest.
After talking with Jay Roberts in the morning, within 1 hour, we got messages from the governor's staff and the DOT saying, wait, William Woodall didn't sign the lobbyist contract Henry County gave him almost 2 months ago. And they tell me, if he didn't sign it, then he's not Henry County's lobbyist.
That was news to Henry County Manager Lyndon Bonner when we told him.
Nobody as of this day has told you that something is different than what was voted on.
Absolutely not.
If he's telling people he's not a lobbyist, then it must be something more to it. Because we got so many people that the public thinks he's our lobbyist.
And we wanted to know why Mr. Woodall didn't sign the contract, but he didn't return our phone calls. And on the day we interviewed Jay Roberts, the Secretary of State's office filed a notice to dissolve the company belonging to Mr. Woodall, On Point Strategies. Deidre?
A lot there, and we know you'll keep digging.
We will.
All right, thank you, Dale.
Excellent. Oh, Carl, God bless you, Carl.
Isn't that awesome? And for individuals who have listened to us for a long period of time, they're fully aware of all of this. This is what people who have a passion for all of the people, the whole of the people, our union, work together and expose this corruption, not for any money. We do it because it's right. And Carl and his researchers are phenomenal, and they've done an awesome job.
I'll say something on the public record right now. If one hair on that man's head, on Carl Swenson's head, one hair on that man's head is harmed, we know exactly whose door to come to, and we're not going to want to hear anything about it. I didn't sign the contract.
We Well, you know, I'm wondering, since he signed the contract, is he going to give back that $2,000 a month that Henry County
paid? No, you know what? Here's what it comes down to. I know that little trick, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The little trick of not signing the contract so that the if you get exposed or whatever, you can... The intent was there. He presented himself. You heard all of that testimony of other people. He's the man, all that. He was issued a check, and I hope that he was greedy enough. Forget the contract. I hope he was greedy enough to cash the check, because if he did, that's really all there is to it. I mean, that would just be icing on the cake. Even if he didn't cash the check, there's enough evidence there circumstantially to tie him to it. I don't even think that snake can wiggle out of the grass.
Well, I thought that would put a smile on your face, and especially a smile on the face of the listeners who have been following the stuff that Carl has been going through and has been exposing. A phenomenal individual, and all his researchers and the people who have stood by him are phenomenal. And I thought that would bring a smile to everybody's face, so I absolutely had to share that. So we do have a caller. You want to take the caller before we go to the next topic?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Jim, how are you doing today, Jim? Welcome.
I'm doing fine. How are y'all doing?
Doing well.
Great. Well, I'll make this short and sweet because I heard some talk about birth certificates and stuff. So here's what happened today. My daughter had a child by a man out of wedlock, and we're having troubles, and she wanted to go to an attorney, so I went along with her. And here's what I was told. Now, this is specific to Missouri, but this is very interesting. In Missouri, if a child is born out of wedlock, they do not recognize that the child has a father. However,
that's right.
Okay. However, because he signed the birth certificate as the father, he is now obligated to pay child support.
Correct.
That's correct.
I mean, so
he entered into a contract. You see, here's how, and you find that interesting. Yes, yes, absolutely correct. That only proves everything we've been saying. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, because that is a good illustration of what we have been saying all along.
Yes. That's all I had. Love your show, Tom, and keep it up, guys and gals.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for calling.
The show has become bigger than Tom. Thank God. We have now Lori Anderson. We have John Mesmer. We have Ken Dost. We're all teaming up now and putting all of our effort behind this show. The website is being revamped. I've told you guys before, John is helping out with that. There's a lot of things that are coming together now, and we're starting to get some support. Now, folks, I need your support. This show needs your support. If you go to resurrectorepublic.com, and click on that PayPal. You don't have to send a lot. I know times are tough. But if you believe in the information we're sharing here, and if you believe it needs to be heard, we need your support. You are our paycheck. We don't get a paycheck to put money into this show. It comes from you. So that's the only little pitch I'm going to give you, because I'm not a snake oil salesman. I don't have a million products out there to sell you. Be coming out with some pretty neat t-shirts on the website. John... You remember that picture I sent you with Osama bin Laden in scuba gear?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm making a T-shirt out of that. People are loving it.
Yeah, I can't wait to get the new site launched and have our store area offer those T-shirts out, because those are just going to be informative and funny at the same time.
Yes. Well, that's the only thing I wanted to say. That last caller illustrated very well what Lori has been painstakingly working on for a very long time, and a lot of the research that we put in on folks that exposed the fraud of the whole government tie-in, the corporation, the birth certificate, and good old Colonel Mandel House and Company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And I want to thank you for your calls. Everybody who calls in, we enjoy your calls. We love to speak to our listeners. Now, I wanted to bring up, and I know that people might think this is old news, but it actually ties in with the new news. So it's really relevant. So hang with me here for a minute. If you could go ahead and get LV4 ready for playing. And I don't know if any of you remember Catherine Engelbright, her testimony about the IRS targeting, but she had a phenomenal testimony. But who she is, the reason her testimony is so important is why the IRS was really targeting. Catherine Engelbright is over, she's the one who created True the Vote, okay? So this goes to the voter honesty and integrity and it being a true part of the vote. True the Vote was established in 2009 after a small group of volunteers worked at local polls and witnessed firsthand both the need for well-trained election workers and blatant, undeniable acts of election fraud. Since then, they continued to grow, and they're now a national organization. They provide comprehensive, state-specific programs of education, research, and support for volunteers in all 50 states. They've empowered fellow citizens, increased public awareness, advocated for continued education improvements and reforms, and spoken out about the misleading messaging of those who insist that voter fraud does not exist. So this is one of the reasons I want you to hear this clip, because this lady, it leads to what happened just the other day. And the reason I'm going to wait for the clip until after the break, we're going to have a break in about 2 minutes. So I'm going to discuss a little bit about this. If anybody remembers, does anybody remember Lying Lois Lerner?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How can we forget her?
Right. All this connects. Okay. All of this connects. And, you know, I find it amazing that whether we're talking about Lois Lerner and we're talking about IRS targeting, which, of course, is all part of the corruption and everything else we've been talking about for a long amount of time. Anyone who wants a really interesting educational thing to look up, take and look up the Grace Report of the Ronald Reagan era and find out where your taxes go. It does not go at all to pay for one program, nothing, not one bit. So nope. The illusion that we have to pay these taxes in order for things to get done is just that. It is an illusion. However, back
and
to
all this talk,
the vote.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, all this talk we've had, the controversy we've had about, you know, Trump's tax returns from the mid-90s and the Clinton's tax returns and whatnot, and people not paying their, you know, quote-unquote fair share. It's just, it's a ridiculous point to make, but the vast majority of people just buy into it hook, line, and sinker, thinking that, you know, we all need to pay our taxes and be good, patriotic United States citizens, and when they don't realize, none of their taxes actually go to the general fund and pay for any of this, just like Lori said.
Absolutely, and we'll be back right after a word from the sponsor.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. prepare, don't despair at www.bugoutpanama.net.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org 800-326-2001.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Resurrecting Public, Truth Radio Broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Folks, I have one quote that I want to read before we get to the rest. Colonel Edward Mandel House: very soon, every American will be required to register their biological property. And for you folks, that means you and me. In a national system designed to keep track of the people and that will operate under the ancient system of pledging. By such methodology, we can compel people to submit to our agenda, which we will affect our security as a change back from our paper currency. Every American will be forced to register or suffer not being able to work or earn a living. They will be our chattel property, and we will hold the security interest over them forever. By operation of a law merchant and under the scheme of secure transactions, Americans, by unknowingly or unwittingly delivering the bills of lading, their birth certificates to us, will be rendered bankrupt and insolvent, secured by their pledges. Colonel Edward Mandel House is attributed with giving a very detailed outline of this plan to be implemented to enslave the American people. He stated in a private meeting with Woodrow Wilson, "Folks, That is what we expose. A Jesuit, and with the Jesuit president. Just saying.
And, you know, it's amazing to me how, you know, a lot of people are really paying attention now. They really are. That's one thing I can say that I thank Obama for, and let me tell you why before people go nuts when I say that.
Oh, can I say one last thing before you say that?
Sure.
I went to Woodrow Wilson's private house when he was born, and I peed on the side of it. Go ahead.
Anyway, one thing we can thank Obama for, and there's only one, is he has created such an awareness. Because, you know, when he has done everything that he's done, he has shown the American people the reality of, he's right, he can do that. Because that's the system we've been living in blindly. And so, if it had not been for him doing that, I don't think near as many people would be awake today. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
So that's the one and only thing I can thank that man for. Now, back to the topic of taxes real quick before I get to this IRS thing. The funny thing about this is, remember Kane the other night on the debate, he kept trying to really hound Pence, okay, about taxes, Donald Trump, taxes. Well, he shouldn't have hounded so much because now people are really digging. And apparently it has now been exposed that Hillary's tax return problem, she claimed her illegal server as a tax deduction. It says that Clinton's tax returns reveal a web of possible illegal deductions for illicit server. A deeper look into Hillary Clinton's tax returns reveals that she may have committed two federal crimes. Not only was her illegal email server built using campaign funds, the Clintons claimed it was for personal use, while also claiming it as a business expense. The Daily Caller's Chuck Ross reported the payments to Clinton IT consultant Bryant Pagliano, and if you remember, I reported about him because he's the one that Congress got for contempt.
Yep.
Okay. Were revealed in notes released on Friday from his December the 22nd interview with the Bureau. Investigators cited documents showing that the Clintons made a $5,000 transfer to Pagliano in 2009 and another in June 2011 for $8,350.83. The Clintons' publicly available tax filings show that the former first couple deducted similar amounts from Bill Clinton's speech-making income for computer maintenance expenses in those same years. The Clintons also depreciated computer equipment that was put in service in June 2011, the same month Pagliano traveled to the Clintons' home in Chippewa, New York, to work on the server, as well as at other times when major changes were made to, quote, off-the-books email system. There could be another legal issue with the Clintons' email system. The IT director for Hillary Clinton's 2008 campaign, Pagliano, used equipment left over from that failed effort to build the system, which was activated in March of 2009, the Daily Caller reported. It is generally illegal to claim business expenses as tax deductions for government work. It goes without saying that it's improper to take a tax deduction for a server or anything else which was used or maintained by the government. Ken Boehm, the president of the National Legal and Policy Center, tells the Daily Caller. But the Clintons' possible legal problems don't stop there. It is generally illegal to use equipment paid for by a political campaign for personal use. Doing so would allow politicians to use cash from donors for personal benefit. Those running for federal office, including presidential candidates, must abide by strict FEC guidelines when it comes to their extra campaign money. They can donate an unlimited amount to a charity or a political party. They can also, within limits, make contributions directly to other candidates. A campaign committee can give up to $2,000 per election to each candidate. And that was the Annenberg Public Policy Center reporting that. What candidates cannot do with leftover money is use it for personal expenses, the center noted. Campaign equipment is generally treated as the same as cash under campaign finance law. Otherwise, campaigns could expend their cash on equipment and then transfer it to the candidate, who could then use it for personal purposes or sell it for personal cash. Clinton could have legally transferred the server to her personal business, but there's no record of the server being transferred to any business, and Clinton told Pagliano it was a personal device. It is also illegal to claim business deductions for personal equipment. While the FBI may not be interested in the Clinton server, there appears to be a very good case for an IRS to take a look. So isn't that just a little bit of snippet of neat little information there, since we were talking about taxes? But I wanted to get back to Catherine Engelbreit. So if we could, let's go ahead and play LV4, because for listeners who are not aware of the situation, her testimony is imperative to hear. Before I play the Jim Jordan clip, go ahead and roll it.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Catherine Engelbrecht, and I'm the chairwoman of True the Vote, a nonprofit election integrity organization, the founder of King Street Patriots, a citizen-led liberty group, and president of Engelbrecht Manufacturing. Thank you for this opportunity to share my story with you today, though at the outset, it must be said that it is a story with a central theme that is shared by countless thousands of other Americans who have not yet been heard from, though I pray that they will be. It must be made publicly known that across this country, citizens just like me are being targeted by an administration willing to take any action necessary to silence opposition. I am an average American who, prior to 2009, had never been active in the processes of government. But after volunteering to work in the polls in Texas in the 2009 elections, I saw fundamental procedural problems that I felt couldn't go unaddressed. So I started True the Vote, an organization that grew into a national movement to ensure that every American voter has an opportunity to participate in elections that are free and fair. My life before I got involved and spoke out for good government stands in stark contrast to the life I now lead. As a wife, a mother, a small businesswoman working with my husband, raising our children and participating in my church and PTA, the government collected my taxes and left me and my family in peace. But once I helped found True the Vote in King Street Patriots, I found myself a target of this federal government. Shortly after filing IRS forms to establish 501c3 and C4 tax-exempt organizations, an assortment of federal entities, including law enforcement agencies and Congressman Cummings, came knocking at my door. In nearly two decades of running our small business, my husband and I never dealt with any government agency outside of filing our annual tax returns. We'd never been audited, we'd never been investigated, but all that changed upon submitting applications for the nonprofit statuses of True the Vote and King Street. Since that filing in 2010, my private businesses, my nonprofit organizations, my family, and I have been subjected to more than 15 instances of audit or inquiry by federal agencies. In 2011, my personal and business tax returns were audited by the Internal Revenue Service, each audit going back for a number of years. In 2012, my business was subjected to inspection by OSHA on a select occasion when neither my husband or I were present, and though the agency wrote that it found nothing serious or significant, it still issued fines in excess of $20,000. In 2012 and again in 2013, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms conducted comprehensive audits at my place of business, and beginning in 2010, the FBI contacted my nonprofit organization on six separate occasions, wanting to cull through membership manifests in conjunction with domestic terrorism cases. They eventually dropped all matters and have now redacted nearly all my files. All of these incursions into my affairs began after filing applications for tax exemption. There is no other remarkable event. There's no other reason to explain how, for decades, I went unnoticed, but now find myself on the receiving end of interagency coordination into and against all facets of my life, both personal and private. Bear in mind, distinguished ladies and gentlemen of this subcommittee, these events were occurring while the IRS was subjecting me to multiple rounds of abusive inquiries with requests to provide every Facebook and Twitter I'd ever posted, questions about my political aspirations and demands to know the names of groups that I'd spoken with, the content of what I'd said, and everywhere I intended to speak in the coming year. The answers to these sorts of questions are not of interest to the typical IRS analyst, but they are certainly of interest to a political machine that would put its own survival against the civil liberties of a private citizen. This government attacked me because of my political beliefs, but I refuse to be cast as a victim. Not to the IRS, not to the FBI, not to OSHA, not to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, or to any other government agency, I am not a victim, because a victim has no options. I do have options, and I intend to use them to the fullest extent of my capabilities. As an American citizen, I am part of a country that still believes in freedom of speech, and so I will continue to speak out. Here in Congress and all across this country, I will continue to press in every legal way possible, as I did by filing suit against the Internal Revenue Service. No American citizen should be willing to accept a government that uses its power against its own people. After all the tyranny and all the things that have been done to my organizations, to my family, and to me, many people would have quit. And, Mr. Chairman, many Americans have quit. I've heard over and over that people are afraid to tell their stories. But know this. My experience at the hands of this government in the last 5 years have made me more determined ever than before to stand before you and to all of America and say that I will not retreat, I will not surrender, I will not be intimidated, and I will not ask for permission to exercise my constitutional rights. I come before you today, Mr. Chairman, on behalf of Americans just like me, asking for a solution to end this ugly chapter of political intimidation. There was a time when people of goodwill were encouraged to participate in the processes of government, not targeted because of it. I applaud your request of the Internal Revenue Service to withdraw a proposed regulation limiting political speech by nonprofit organizations. That action should be taken quickly and without fail, because if it is not, it will effectively codify into law the very thing that brings me here today. If those regulations pass, nonprofit organizations across the country will be destroyed. No American, regardless of their political affiliation, should support the silencing of political speech. Beyond ending the proposed IRS regulations, I ask you, I implore you, as representatives to the people of this great nation, to pass a law that protects all citizens of this country from the increasing use of such abusive practices. Pass a law that exposes government officials who trample on the rights of ordinary citizens. Do not allow them to continue to cower behind a veil of secrecy, abuse, unethical, and unfair behavior. Send the president a bill that makes public, at the option of persons and entities regulated, all communication between government agencies and those they regulate, no restricted, redacted, selectively released files. Give us a truly transparent process. Protect the people. Restore liberty to the people, because we will not be silenced. Thank you for this opportunity, Mr. Chairman and committee's members.
Thank you, Ms. Engelbrecht.
And on that amazing note, that is your flashback. So earlier in the past couple of days, there has been an impeachment hearing for the IRS commissioner. And if you remember, this stemmed because of Lois Lerner's emails that she, you know, conveniently, kind of like Hillary Clinton, they just all disappear and, you know, things break down and things get erased after stuff has been subpoenaed. So what we'll do is let's go ahead and play LV3. This is Jim Jordan. Great job, Mr. Jordan.
Hoskin, I'm going to read from the Articles of Impeachment. Page 2, it says, on March 4th, 2014, the Internal Revenue Service magnetically erased 422 backup tapes. Is that statement true?
Yes.
Were you commissioner at the time that these tapes were erased?
Yes.
Was there a subpoena in place for the very information that was erased?
Yes.
More than one subpoena, right? There were two subpoenas.
Well, the subpoenas asked for specific information. The assumption is that some of that information was on those tapes.
Not the assumption. It was on those tapes because it was from the critical time period when Ms. Lerner's hard drive had crashed. Mr. Koskin, who's Kate Duvall?
Pardon?
Who's Kate Duvall?
Kate Duvall was serving as, counselor to the commissioner.
When we got her bio, it said, counselor to the commissioner, said she advised on high-profile investigations, and she was a member of your senior management team. Is that accurate?
Yes.
In her deposition in front of the Oversight Committee, Ms. Duvall said she learned on February 2nd, 2014, about Lois Lerner's computer crash and missing emails. So on February 2nd, the counselor to the commissioner in senior management working on high-profile investigations learns evidence is missing. And 1 month later, March 4th, the backup tapes that contain this evidence are destroyed. What a coincidence, Mr. Koskinen. 1 month after your top counselor learns Ms. Lerner's hard drive has crashed and there are missing emails, the backup tapes, the secondary source, the primary source is gone. And a month later, the backup tapes are destroyed. Now, here's what's also interesting. Those backup tapes were supposed to have been destroyed months and months beforehand, weren't they, Mr. Koskinen?
Yes, and a large number of them had been destroyed in 2012 and 13.
In fact, you testified to this. You said this. Ms. Lerner, this is a testimony in front of the Oversight Committee. You said Ms. Lerner's hard drive had crashed in June 2011. As a result, certain emails could not be retrieved. Recovery tapes containing data for that period no longer existed. False statement, they did, but they were supposed to have been erased. This data was retained on tapes for only 6 months. So they were supposed to have been erased actually 2 years prior to the date that they were, but they somehow survived. They somehow survived, and then exactly 1 month, 30 days after your top counselor, Kate Duvall, in senior management, learns that the primary source, the emails, are missing, these backup tapes that have survived for 2 years suddenly get destroyed. And we're supposed to believe that's just a coincidence? That just happened by chance?
The Inspector General spent a year looking into exactly that subject and came up with the conclusion after interviewing over 50 witnesses that that was totally a mistake by two employees on the midnight shift in Martinsburg.
The old midnight shift guys in Martinsburg excuse.
Well,
okay.
That's
okay.
The IG's report after a year.
Okay. Well, let me read one other statement to you. Again, from the Articles of Impeachment. This is on page 3, Article 2. On June 20th, 2014, Commissioner Koskinen testified, quote, since the start of this investigation, every email has been preserved, nothing has been lost, nothing has been destroyed. Is that statement true, Mr. Koskinen?
At the time, that was what I had been informed, what I believed. A year later, or
It could not have been true at the time because the date is June 20th, 2014.
That's
and
correct.
You just told me on March 4th, the first question I ask you, on March 4th, 3 months before that, March 4th, 2014, that the IRS had destroyed 422 backup tapes.
That's correct.
So how is this statement true that you made under oath to a congressional committee?
The statement was not correct in light of that evidence, which I did not know.
So the statement wasn't true?
A statement I thought was true. It was not true on the basis of the evidence that we discovered later.
Mr. Chairman, this is the problem. You think about any of the folks we represent, any of the constituents I represent in the 4th District of Ohio has this same fact pattern where they lose documents and then a month later, they're being audited by the IRS, they lose documents, a month later they destroy the backup disk and it's fine, they can get away with that. This is what so many Americans are frustrated about, this double standard. Mr. Koskinen can lose documents, the IRS can lose documents, then destroy the backup source, the backup tapes, and nothing happens. Any American that happens to them, they're in big trouble, and everybody knows it. We're not asking to, all we're asking is this guy no longer hold this office. That's all we're asking, and in light of this fact pattern, I think that's the least we can do.
And I would have to say I agree with you, Mr. Jordan.
Woo!
So, as mainstream media is all worried about, you know, Hillary's little earpiece, there's some pretty interesting congressional hearings going on, as you can tell. Of course, we must keep those IRS letters. And the reason I connected that with the voting situation was because that is what Ms. Engelbreit does. She makes sure that the voters in the election, that there's not fraud. That's what she targets. And they targeted her, of course, before the 2012 elections. Well, now it's coming out that in the Washington Post even covered this, believe this or not. He fought in World War II. He died in 2014, and he just registered to vote in Virginia. Okay, so the Yeah, the FBI and local police are investigating how at least 19 dead Virginians were recently re-registered to vote in this critical swing state. One case came to light after relatives of a deceased man received a note congratulating him for registering, Rockham County Commonwealth Attorney Marsha Garst said on Thursday. His family members were very distraught, said Garst, who confirmed the existence of the FBI and police investigation, but said she could provide few details because the case is ongoing. All 19 were initially registered as voters of the Shenandoah Valley City of Harrisonburg, although a clerk double-checking the entries later raised questions about one. She recognized the name of Richard Allen Claybrook Sr., who died in 2014 at age 87, because his son is a well-known local judge, and she happened to recall that the judge's father had died. So what is the interesting fact about this situation? It is coming out that the individual, just yesterday, this specific article came out, and it says they wrote about the FBI investigation into the potential voter fraud in the critical swing state of Virginia, which is what I was just explaining to everybody. Well, Andrew Spiels, S-P-I-E-L-E-S, is a student at James Madison University. Okay. Apparently, he was behind the operation. And he is apparently the lead organizer for Harrisonburg Votes, according to Daily News Record. Spiels confessed to re-registering 19 deceased Virginians to vote in the 2016 election cycle. And while this should come as no surprise, precisely zero people, Speckles just happens to be a Democrat, who, according to a deleted Facebook post, apparently recently ran for caucus chair of the Virginia Young Democrats. So that's some other information to keep an eye out for, even though, you know, we do know the difference between the de facto and the de jure. Be under no illusion. I wish we had more time, because I did have a congressional witness actually exposing how they rig the election machines, which maybe we'll be able to cover on a different night, bringing that up. But I did want to bring up Arkin Seaton. I guess that is how you say his name. I'm not sure. He is the 20-year-old Turkish citizen who recently killed five people at the Cascade Mall in Washington. Okay, if you don't recognize that name. Somehow he managed to vote in the past three election cycles despite not being a U.S. citizen. How interesting.
Yes, wow. Yes, yeah.
So, I want to let everybody know I will be available more now. The Watchman on the Wall is now back, and I have missed you all. Thank you for joining us tonight.
And folks, say some prayers for the people in Florida. The biggest hurricane in the history of Florida since they started recording it is coming at us. So say some prayers. We're all getting ready. And thank you, Lori. Thank you, John. Expect to hear a lot more from Lori and John in the future.
God bless you all.
Have a good night, everybody.
Watch your back and check your facts. Good night.
Keep your head down and your powder dry.
Yeah.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible?
Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.